Okay. I think I'd like to just read the quote-unquote parable that I did last week, and then I want to move on to another. Oh, yeah, see, there you go. See, you're not quick enough. As soon as I finish that prayer, just no rush up here. Just Mallory is supposed to just, anytime you see this, rush the pulpit. Yes, with hands waving to stop me before I start. Okay, Mallory, please come, and sorry for that.
I do the same thing when I teach a class. All right. This is the ProSelf devotional for the week, and it's called One with the Lamb When God Is Not Acting. When you are dealing with people by whom you feel slighted, are you aware of the ways that your pro-self spirit may twist and manipulate things to your advantage? One thing you might do is highlight and broadcast their failures and shortcomings. Even when you have the Lamb, you may be tempted to not stay with him because you feel justified since God is not acting. We would never say that, but we wonder, why isn't God doing something about this evil person or this bad situation? Well, maybe they are not the only one who is evil. Maybe you are too. You have possibly realized that the person giving you trouble is no angel. Okay, there are your grounds. There is justification to go to someone else and say, do you know what he did? He broke the rules. He sinned. And now he's trying to get everyone's sympathy, trying to get everyone on his side as if he were the victim. All you have to do is dig up the dirt and then spread it around like Skippy peanut butter. And the scripture reference that goes, we have a couple scripture references. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's one prayer. Lord, I am the one who asked you to conform me to your image. Am I now willing to become an evildoer in order to expose this person as an evildoer? Lord, so many times I stop you from continuing the work you desire in me that brings me to your fulfillment. I am deceived by what I think. Lord, forgive me. I stop and turn to you to hear what you are saying. Open my heart to your light. I desire your inward work and life to find completion in this vessel.
Jim's going to play some background music for us so that. Don't worry, I've done it several times before. So I'm just wondering, that first portion that you read, was that about the Skippy peanut butter? Was that T. Austin Sparks? Okay, I admit it. All right, so now I want us to go to Matthew 13. Again, I want us to just soak it just a little bit more in what it's written. I don't want to preach a lot. I don't want to, we will move on to what follows this. Well, in another portion in scriptures. This is Matthew 13, starting with verse 34. And these things, let's see, let me make sure that I've, actually I should start with verse 24, Matthew 13, 24, or 24, for you, those of you who need that. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Some translation, instead of saying tares, says weeds. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it weeds? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, that sounds like your regular end-time harvest scriptures. But that's not what it is, okay? And we talked about that last week. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to what we had last week, that may be more important than what we share any other time, maybe. All right. So now let's look at verse 34. These things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. Now, in truth, when they ask him later, which we will read, when we ask him later, he did cease speaking in parables. And he just flat out told them what was going on. Okay? that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. All right, so he is openly saying that his parable is a secret that's been hid from the foundation of the world. Now, we know that from the foundation of the world, God didn't set up a plan to save anybody, because the plan was that Adam and Eve would not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and so forth. But this is talking about something that happened between God and Satan, and he'll basically say that. All right, so then verse 36, and of course we're talking about what I have called the breach. The breach. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, notice how he just doesn't hesitate to tell them what happened before the foundation of the world. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And then the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So, we have this picture, and again, I would rather not re-explain last class. I'd rather everyone go to that. But Deb pointed out that Jesus said, when they asked, you know, how did this come about? How did these tares come about? Jesus said, an enemy had done this. Now, she also pointed out that she doesn't remember a lot of times when Jesus calls him just an enemy. But this is the enemy of all enemies, the breach master, the one who changed the course of what God was doing, one that changed the course of one of the things that I appreciated at the end of this was it said, see if I can find it again. Yeah. It's verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the thing that was, I had mentioned to you that the picture that I kind of saw when the Lord began to share this with me and began to show me the breach, the picture that he basically showed me was before the enemy had fallen, and fallen is not the right word, rebelled, not just rebelled against rules, not just rebelled against God in the sense of what we think, but rebelled against the nature of God as seen in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit and how they function, self-giving constantly among themselves before there was a world. From eternity past until now, there is this this nature that is among them. You could say that God is three in one. The three is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The one is they all have the same essence, the same way, the same self-giving, the same heart. And so when Satan did this, it changed everything. But before he had done that, I saw this picture of, it was like this environment. And in this environment, it just glowed. It shined. It did. It was like, and the beauty of that environment was well pleasing to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. And so when the breach came, that fullness of the picture was changed. And it started, with him, with Satan, and we'll talk about that eventually, but it started with him convincing certain angels, a third of the angels, to go with him in his way of thinking, his way of seeing, his thing. I will be great. I will exalt myself. I will do all this. And so that beautiful picture began to be tainted. If you could see a harvest field and every true wheat seed shining and glowing to the glory of the heart of the Father, and then all these dark patches, it changed. Now, we have a terrible thing that happened here in Texas with children being slaughtered, being shot and killed, and it's enough to break your heart. It's enough to break your heart. But before that happened, before that shooting happened, I have sat up in my office upstairs and I have fought back tears and just breaking down over what happened to God's children, the ones that were meant to be them, that were put to death, if you will. They live in death. Yes, they're alive, but they're dead. And the heartbreaking of that. And I thought the closest thing that you could get to feel that is what happened with these kids, that somebody would do that. But even that doesn't touch it. even that doesn't touch it. So the, see if I can find that. Yeah, here's the ending then. He says, them that offend, because God was offended by this breach. And again, not just a fall. This wasn't just the fall of Satan. This was Satan breaching the very nature of this selfless way and bringing in another way and another way to think in regards to yourself. Instead of being lamb-like, now you're pursuing your own good and your own rights and your own everything. And but there is this good note, even though he has to deal with them, shall cast them in a furnace of fire. He says in verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Do you see the glow again? Okay.
Yes.
And let's see. See if I can. Let me skip a little bit here on my notes and just read some things to you along that line now. Okay, so Matthew 13:43 was, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. James 1, verse 14 through 17. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights. He's fathered these. This is his children, and that's the way he described it in that parable of the sower, that this is his children, and he's the father of these lights, with whom is no variableness, no shadow of turning, which I need to remember that little phrase because that comes up a lot. Philippians 2, verse 14 through 15 says this, do all things without murmuring. Does that sound like he's still dealing with the breach among Christians? Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights. This is a true picture. What I saw was a true picture, and it is the heart of God, the heart of the Father, the heart of the Son, the heart of the Holy Spirit. And what they had in mind until this ugly, self-centered, self-exalting spirit started being spread into others. And then 2 Corinthians 4, 4 and 5, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. Do you hear? Ah, that there is, he's declaring, be that light. Don't declare yourself. We preach not ourselves. And then Revelation 21, 22 through 24. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Do you not see that this is the fulfillment. This is the end. Some of the other scriptures that I just read is the end. It's all coming back down. Like this one is so perfect. It's all coming back down to the Lamb. It's all coming back down to God Almighty, you know, and the Lamb. And they're the light of this kingdom. They're the light of this place. And then the Father is the Father of lights. So we're lit with this Spirit, this Lamb Spirit, because He's the light thereof. So, you know, this is really hard for me. It's hard for me when I'm upstairs in my room, because I'm feeling Him. I'm feeling Him. I'm feeling His heart, them, Him. And I know enough to know that the triune God is of one Spirit, and that their attempt to bring that, to spread that, was breached by what Jesus said. An enemy hath done this. An enemy hath done this. So that's more than bringing up sin. This was, Jesus said, I am explaining to you things that happened before the foundation of the world. This breach was an attempt to spread it by the enemy of, I will exalt myself. I will be like the Most High God. I will be the greatest. I will be all of this kind of stuff. And to spread that until hopefully the light would go out on God. This light that we're talking about. That could be in us. But in whom there is no variableness of turning. Or that's what the scripture just said that we read. He's not going to change. And so a lot of times we think, okay, well, you know, that happened. And I've mentioned stuff like that before. That happened thousands of years ago, you know, thousands of years ago. And God still carries that. It's true. But God doesn't live in time. He doesn't think in time. He's not motivated by time. To Him, even the beginning with Lucifer becoming Satan, this is present with Him. And the fact that every day on earth goes by, another person that could have been, or that had the light, because the scriptures, I'm telling you, talk to, in the New Testament, Christians talk to them because some of them are about to turn. So this is ongoing for the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And He will get that. He calls that a kingdom. Isn't that beautiful? He calls that lit light of glory of that Lamb nature in us. He looks at us with all that, and he calls that a kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed seed. And the man, Jesus' explanation, that sowed the seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus. All right, so God's dealing with us. There's so much religion. There's so much Christianity that is in the forefront of everything. And it's a Christianity that is based on things you do, whether it's good works or go to church or tithe or whatever, which anybody can do, but not anybody can manifest the Lamb on a consistent basis unless it is Him there. That's the, what is it, Shibboleth or something like that? the word that they used in the Old Testament when they were trying to figure out if you were with them or against them, and they met them at the gate, and they had to say this word, and they couldn't pronounce it right, this group of people, and that's how they figured it out. Well, that's a version of what's going on now. So, the goal is not just limiting the devil or limiting the demons. The goal is an increase of this light, this Lamb. The goal is that. The only way to turn this thing is He must increase. But He will not increase Himself. We have to want that increase. We have to. So, and we must gain the logic of God. If we do not, if we understand it with our head, but it is not our way of thinking, then there's no need learning about it, about how it works and everything. I mean, that's like learning everything about how a car works, but you never know how to drive one. You know, well, I really know a lot. Well, can you drive one? Well, no, you know, but I can put one together, you know. The logic of God is the way that He sees and thinks, and it is the way of selfless giving. It is the way of, if you seek to save, you lose. That's the logic of God. But we are always seeking to save. Okay? Give, and it shall be given unto you. That's the logic of God. Give. Be a giver. Put others first. See, it's more than just, okay, I'm going to give some money to this cause or whatever. You know, we all have done that. I know, my years in the church, I know plenty of people that have given to causes and things, but their heart wasn't to be a giver. In some cases, it was to be seen of man. There's so many motives that go off in all of us. There's so much stuff like that that goes off. So it causes us to try to use the wisdom of this world, or that which Satan started, that, if you will, new kind of wisdom, to apply it to those things. And so we say, well, give and it shall be given unto you. So then we start giving so that we can get more. That's not it either. That's a violation of it. That's a true proof of a breach. That the breach has reached us, if that's, you know, if that's what we do. So, you know, there's just so many of the simple little things like what I've just been naming, that we take them as little Christian theorems. You know, it's better to give than receive. Well, Jesus didn't say, give and you shall receive. He said it's better to give than to receive. Well, we go, well, it's not really, unless I get more. Hello? So, all right, this is in Luke chapter 10. Oh, Jesus. Luke chapter 10. So in this part of the Bible, Jesus has sent out His disciples, and He's given them power to go do things, you know, to preach, to teach, to do miracles, to cast out demons, and this is their return. Luke 10, verse 17. And the 70, and he sent out 70 of them, by the way. And the 70 returned again with joy. And that's important that you notice that joy, okay? Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. All right, so we right there, hold up, don't read on. We right there would probably be like them. That this is great. We have been, you know, given power over the enemy. Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Well, isn't that the answer? Isn't that the reversal of the breach? No, it's not. It's not. And, you know, if you're shocked by that, or you think I'm wrong, that's fine. I'm wrong all the time. In fact, stop listening to me. But, I'm telling you, it's not. Jesus is going to answer it. Okay? So in verse 18, and he said unto them, when they said that, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Oh my God, I got goosebumps. He's still living in the reality of the breach. And he's still understanding what the issues are. Okay, let me read on and then I'll read some of my notes on that. But behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Okay, power, I give power. I give power to tread on, okay, serpents, which, you know, we've already been discussing the crooked serpent. Y'all remember that? And scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding in this rejoice not. They came back with joy, and he's saying, you're rejoicing over something that hasn't made a dent. Okay. Rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Okay, well, I'm sure that we've all read that and went, rejoice that we're saved. You know, rejoice that that's what it's all about. But what if there's more to it than that? Verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Oh my, they returned with joy. But in that hour, not that very moment, but in that hour that they're talking about these things, Jesus rejoiced and he did it in spirit. All right. Now, you know, Jesus wept, right? But you don't really hear a lot of, you know, well, Jesus was really happy or rejoiced. Do you? You don't. But he is breaking forth in joy in the Spirit, rejoicing over his understanding of this, and said, I thank thee, O Father. See, it's like they're all three there. Jesus, rejoicing in spirit, and he said, Father, this is them. This is where they meet. This is this spirit, this heart of taking care of one another, of loving one another, of dying for one another, of giving to one another, of being loathed so the other can be lifted up. This is who they are. And right in the middle of when man thinks, you know, we're defeating the devil, they've got other things that they're looking for, toward. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All right, well, you know, we're so well familiar with these scriptures that we think we know them. But this is all wrapped up in the progress of God in relationship to the breach. And that's probably not the best way to say it, but I'll just leave it at that for now. Verse 17. Let's see. So verse 17 was, they return with joy. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So I wrote, the disciples rejoice because individual demons that are external to them that are casting it out, that are external to them, yet can cause disturbances in people's lives, but can be made subject to them. Okay, so this is a temporary deal going on, and you're just putting on temporal band-aids to a problem that in the eyes of God is gargantuan. Gargantuan. It's huge. It is way worse than sin. It is the father of sin. Satan and that spirit. I will become. Because if you think about it, God is self-giving, and Satan said, I will be like the Most High God. Then the first sin was the exact opposite of who God is. It was a breach of the Godhead. It was a breach of who they are. It was a breach of what they were making, building. What, more importantly, what was in their heart. So, In many ways, this is different than the breach. What them casting out demons is different than the breach. Okay? Demons getting in people. It's different than the breach on certain levels. So let me read this. In many ways, this is different than the breach. These people may not be pro-self. Someone can be demon-possessed and not be pro-self. They can just have a spirit of infirmity or something. You know, I mean, they were in Jesus' day. They were laying beside the road and, you know, and couldn't get up or couldn't do this or that. But they weren't sitting there going, I'm the greatest man. I'm the greatest invalid in the world, you know. You didn't hear any of that. And many of them, you know, honored the Lord. I'm thinking of the one leper that returned. And Jesus said, was there not 10 of you? Or, you know, where are the other 9? See, because with him, this is deeper than him just being good and people having gratitude in their heart. Okay, so these people may not be pro-self, sold out to the corrupt wisdom that constitutes the breach. The corrupt wisdom is mentioned in, I forget which one, either Ezekiel 28 or Isaiah 14. Is it Ezekiel? Okay, so he corrupted God's wisdom, it says. He corrupted this spirit of self-giving and all of that. Well, some of these people, even Legion, that was just chocked full of demons, came up and fell down and worshiped. And then even the demons inside of them said, are you come to destroy us before the time? Well, no, he's not in that sense. He's not just trying to cast every demon out of everyone because there's not enough pigs. Thank you very much. Some of you got that one. All right. Well, the Lord told us not to eat ham. All right. So, let me make sure I hadn't gone too far here. I might have jumped here. So I'm hoping you can kind of see that a person with a demon is not necessarily given over to a spirit of pro-self, which is the spirit that was in violation of God, not God's law. Okay. So they could have a demon in them, and a demon of infirmity, for example, and just be sick all the time or not able to walk or whatever. So you could cast that demon out. But you haven't made any ground in a certain sense. You have blessed somebody. You have helped someone who couldn't help themselves. But this spirit that we're talking about, of Lucifer in the breach, the corrupter of God's wisdom, this spirit, it is pro-self through and through. Okay? All right, so verse 18 says, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means will hurt you." But his little thing that he's going to be rejoicing, remember, we hadn't got to that really where it's just busting out, where he's rejoicing is, that he's looking at what they did, and even if it was just a person with a demon of pro-self, which in a lot of ways it's not like a demon necessarily, it is that our minds have been overtaken by the wisdom of this world, and we believe it, and it's always higher, better, more. I gotta have this. I gotta have that. I mean, go on Facebook and see if you find anybody going, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, how did Jesus put it when he said, I'm just trying to make myself of no reputation. You know. Okay, well, I can show you a lot of scriptures along that line. A lot. But we don't see that. We can't see it, you know, and because that wisdom of the world. So that's where 1 Corinthians comes in, where he begins talking about the logic of the cross. It is called the word of the cross, but the word is the word logos, which is the logic of God. And from that point, he begins to go right back down. And he begins to lay it out, boy. He lays it out. This is the wisdom of this world. And he is not just that first chapter, really all the way through the book. But he is, that's his purpose for 1 Corinthians. That's his main purpose. But Jesus saw the one who caused the breach fall from heaven. Okay, it hasn't stopped the sower of bad seed, right? It hasn't stopped the tares, but it stopped it up there, and it's going to stop it eventually when Jesus dies on that cross. I thought it was interesting But Jesus said, I saw that. I saw that. I saw it. You know, you cast out a demon. I'm not sure how much that's really done, but I saw the big boy kicked out of the place where I'm trying to fill it with lights. I'm trying to make my Father's place the Father of lights, meaning this nature of Christ, this nature of the Lamb. So with him, with his influence, okay, let me just make sure. Jesus saw the one who caused the breach fall from heaven. Him with his influences were moved out of the realm of the flow of the triune God. No more flaunting of yourself. No more flaunting. Not before God. Does that sound familiar? Not before God. No boasting before God. All right. So when they came back, they all had joy, right? Joy. But again, look at Jesus' joy. Look at what makes him so happy. I wrote, you rejoice at the overthrow of a few demons. I saw the source fall from heaven. Okay, so here's one of the things I'm getting from that. One of the things I'm getting from that is that he, not just Jesus, but Jesus for the Father's sake, not just Jesus for the Father's sake, but the Father for the Holy Spirit's sake, not just the Holy Spirit's sake, but the Holy Spirit's sake for the Father and the Son, just on and on and on, just this giving, 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 giving constantly for the other, never taking it upon themselves. The minute you do that, the light goes out on God. If God did that, that'd be it. That'd be the end of it. Without variableness of turning, he said in one of the scriptures we read earlier. I love that he put that in there because he's assuring us we're not going to get on that boat with Jonah. You know, we're not going to do that. So, so verse 19 says, behold, I give unto you power to tread scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So the joy is not over your power over them in the earth, but that there is a realm to dwell in that shines with the light of the Godhead, and you will dwell there with them. Rejoice that your name is written in that book, because you're going to be in that realm where you shall shine as lights. The very thing that was in God's heart from the beginning. The very picture that he had. The very thing that began to form up and then was brought down by an enemy had done this. It was this glorious shining environment I saw in God's heart that he was bringing about with the angels and with creation. Again, Matthew 13:43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Jesus is quoting this, so he's not going to say, in my kingdom. But it was the Father of lights, of their Father, he calls them, of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So, you know, the easy thing to do is to just, go back to the way that we understand everything. It doesn't mean as much to us. These children that got killed mean so much to their parents, but, you know, I didn't know them, so, you know, this is the way some people think. So, you know, it doesn't mean as much to me. The father, this breach happened and destroyed many that were supposed to be his seed, and they would be lights shining with him in the kingdom of their father. But, you know, I wasn't there. So it doesn't mean that much to me. Folks, there is a time when we need to quit being Christians and start just seeking the Lord. He's the answer to all of this. He is the thing. We're not going to single-handedly defeat the devil on every front with just casting out demons. And I'm not saying it's bad to do that, but I am saying that when they came back rejoicing, Jesus said, stop rejoicing at that. There's something greater I want you to rejoice in and to be with me in. Because you're not with me right now. You're with your little, you're with, in your name. In your name we were able to do this. Well, I don't want you to be with my name. I want you to be with me. And I want you to understand the magnitude of what this means to my Father. And the Father would say, the magnitude of what this means to my Son and the Holy Spirit. They do this all the time. They give and they think of the other. And to join with him in that hour. Join with him in that hour. Because he rejoiced in spirit. He didn't rejoice over the demons being cast out. He rejoiced over what he was viewing when all this came up over the 70 that returned. He's peering back, as it were, in time, and he's peering into the heart of the Father at the moment. He's peering into the heart of the Spirit, and he knows what this did, and he knows, and he cares. And where we can read the Bible and begin to see him, see them, instead of, well, that was a parable, and it's a parable of the end time. And, you know, and Jesus says this wasn't a parable of the end time. This was a parable of the beginning of the breach. So, finally, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And he's just doing the same thing there. We get all whatever in that. He's just doing the same thing. He's saying the wise and prudent, that little term, the connected term there, phrase, the wise and prudent, is used many different times. Go to Proverbs, for example. But many times when it's used, it's of people who think they know what's going on and they have a handle on, you know, the Bible, or they have a handle on this and that, and they have worked their way through the process to become something, you know, among men, I guess. But he's saying, you know, become like a little child. A little child has no influence on society. They have no power. They have to eat what's set before them. They have no money. They have to have the money that's given to them. They're not going, well, you know, I'm going to be the dad next week. I'm going to take over. Well, guess what? That's happening in homes. The teenagers are killing their parents. It's the same spirit. And we wonder, well, why did that happen out in Uvalde? And why does this happen over here? And why did that happen? And, you know, da da da. And we say, well, it's the end time. Well, it's the breach, the spreading of the breach. And Jesus, you know, you can become destroyed listening or reading about all this stuff all the time. I mean, it's hard. Yesterday on the blog, Jackie prayed a prayer for those kids and families. And I'm telling you, she was ripped and torn to her being. Just so deeply moved. And what's the answer? What's the answer? What's the answer? Well, the answer isn't just to become a Christian. The answer is that we stop the breach in us by seeking Him, by wanting Him, by loving Him. We're not going to defeat anything. I mean, even if we cast a demon out, ultimately, in light of the breach, that has done nothing. But what counts is when we see the magnitude of this to His heart, and instead of seeing, I've seen about the breach and I don't want it to happen, so I'm going to join the army with, the army of anti-pro-self. No. I think, and I don't know everything, but I think that it can start with just seeing their heart, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Just seeing their heart. Just see what was in their heart and what this has done to their heart. And then live no longer for yourself so that you could become one of them, if you will, but live for them and care for their heart and move toward that light that He wants shining out of us. Again, I don't know everything, but I just think that we get so fixated on our problems, and we in zeal for God, we want to, defeat that. But we'll never defeat this breach. The only way that it will be defeated is through that Lamb being the light of the environment. And we will shine as lights through that light. In thy light, how does it say that? What? In thy light we shall see light. In thy light we see this. So we cry out. We say, Holy Spirit, You're here to guide us into all truth. And I ask You to show me why Jesus said, well, that's fine, but don't rejoice over that. This is what you should be rejoicing over when this starts happening. And so we depend on them because they're the only ones that have true motive. Do you understand what I'm saying? True motive that won't do it for so I'll be better, use it for pro-self. And you know that, for example, that Jesus was sent to glorify the Father, and He did it. And the Spirit was sent to glorify Jesus. And you just ask Him, let me know their heart. Let me see it. Let me know it. Let it move me. And don't let any of that happen if I'm going to pervert it. Would you even be strong enough to say, just take me out then. Just take my life then. If I'm perverting Your stuff, just take my life. Well, I'm not asking you to pray that, because then we wouldn't have a church anymore. I'm kidding. So let's pray. Mm. Oh, Father of lights, that's in your heart. What, even if it's in my heart to be of that light when it's all wrapped up, I don't want to choose what's in my heart. I want to choose what's in your heart. And what's in your heart is to be a father of this light and to build an environment of it. We call it heaven or whatever, but it's your reality. And so I ask that what's in your heart in this way, can somehow we can have our eyes and hearts open to you. And of course, that opens us to the Holy Spirit and to your Son, but to open us to see you. And Lord, like Jackie, when she just from everything within her broke down and wept for these children, deep crying, Father, can we be given to see how bad this thing is? And we could break down and cry from the depths of our being and want to be with you and want to do anything we can to bring this rejoicing in spirit that Jesus had when he began to talk about an enemy had done this and I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. Oh, Father. Father, we ask not because we're worthy, because we're not. None of us are. But if there's any way that you can reach us in this manner so that it would rebound back to your Son's glory and covering, if you will, and the Holy Spirit's joy, then we ask you to do it. Even as we ask all three of you to do it for the sake of one another. In Jesus' name, amen.